Chris, how are you?
I'm good, Glenn. Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, you're letting the good times roll up in Austin, huh?
Yeah, no, it's especially the games at Q2 Stadium have been just fantastic. Yeah, I think fans are getting used to winning at home, which is the way it should be for teams in MLS. So they're taking care of business at home for sure. And another 3-0 victory over Vancouver on Saturday night actually put Austin on the top of the table for a good 12 hours. So it's I don't know if anybody expected it to be this good, but we'll see if they can keep it rolling through this busy, more difficult summer stretch.
Pair for Maxi Arruti, Sebastian Driussi, both of those guys making the team of the week. And we're going to get into them as a combination and as a pair in a minute here. But, you know, I always like the listeners to know a little bit about the background. Of course, I met you when you were working for the Austin Statesman, but just kind of tell us your background in soccer, how you grew up with it, where your influences were before we get into Austin FC in Vancouver.
Sure. Yeah. I grew up in Ohio. So I was an Ohio kid, small town. So kind of got introduced to the game young, but you know, as many young boys do, I left to go try my hand at American football. Didn't like that very much. So I had some friends that were really into soccer and kind of brought me back into the sport when I was 14, 15 years old. And then I guess my lens into it was the 2006 World Cup. And from there, followed the Columbus Crew a little bit, interned for the Crew back in college, and then ended up, you know, life's funny that way. I ended up in Austin, you know, just a year or two before we found out that the Columbus Crew was trying to join me down here. And that was kind of my lens into the beat, for the Statesman. And of course, one thing led to another, and, you know, Rene Van de Zanda and Roberto Silva and I launched the Striker Texas over a year ago to cover Austin FC, but also cover the rest of the sport across the state of Texas. And we think we're doing a pretty good job of that so far. So it's been a wild ride, but a fun one. And I'm glad to be talking to you right now, Glenn.
Yeah, you guys have done a great job. It's the StrikerTexas.com. All right. So, Chris, let's talk a little bit about, first off, you know, I've been impressed with a number of things here. And there's a lot of really interesting topics I think we can get into tonight, above and beyond the result over Vancouver. But the fact that Austin FC has really jumped on teams early at home, that to me is pretty impressive. I mean, you got a pair of goals 26 minutes in, you got the tactical advantage. This is something that is obvious that Josh Wolf wants to do, especially in the home building.
Yeah. I mean, the confidence that this team comes out with at home is pretty obvious, right? I think that the way that they move the ball and when they're at their best, Diego Fagundes, Sebastian Driussi, Maxi Arruti, you know, those guys, they can really play some soccer and they can really move the ball. Alex Ring, I thought, had probably his best game of the year so far, had the assist on the second Maxi Arruti goal. And, but really, I think the chemistry of this group, and I want to get into a little bit of that with Maxi Arruti, who I know you got to know a little bit during his time in Houston, but he's really been a difference maker for this team, maybe more than people even realize for the behind the scenes stuff. I think that, you know, just kind of the story is coming out of the training facility. You know, he I think had a hand in bringing some gel guns into the facility last week, and, you know, getting the head coach involved. I think that kind of bringing the personalities out of this group and bringing the personality out of Sebastian Driussi on the field for sure, because those two work so well together, both Argentines, of course. And yeah, I think that Maxi Arruti's been a big difference for Austin FC at that number nine position, actually having a player to finish off those beautiful plays, beautiful sequences of play that Austin tends to put together, especially at Q2.
Yeah, I had a sense he was going to be around a 10-goal scorer for you. I wasn't really sure, you know, if he would be the starter right from the start this season, but I just put together in my mind, Sebastian Driussi, Argentine, the way Arruti can create space, the fact that Sebastian Driussi to me can sometimes look exactly like a center forward, quite honestly, a pure finisher. That's the thing that I love about him, is that he morphs into all these different things. I mean, he can be a tempo setter for you. He can be people off the dribble, set pieces. I mean, he really is pretty remarkable in how he changes when he runs into the different areas of the field. But, You know, I just thought that, you know, Rudy's movement, Driussi in and around him, along with Fagundes, as you mentioned, something special. And I think it's coming to fruition.
I think so. And, you know, of course, Sebastian Driussi near the top of the MLS goals, or at the top of the MLS goal scoring charts, tied for the Golden Boot lead right now with 6 goals through 8 matches. And he's got, there's no signs of him slowing down. And to what you mentioned, it's just impressive, his all around game, especially the work that he puts in defensively, and he and Aruti together at the top of that press, I think have really given teams fits to start the season. And that's been a big key as well. Something that Houston will have to deal with this weekend.
Exceptional signing. We're talking to Chris Bills, the striker, Texas. .com. Okay, so take me into Danny Pereira, because he's another one that I've just been, he's just grown 10 inches to me, exponentially better. We saw flashes of the brilliance last year. He's keeping Johan Valencia out of the lineup pretty much. I just think he's grown so much. I mean, what is that to you? I mean, you go to training. I mean, is it a better understanding overall the club has of the system, or is it just him getting a year under his belt, all the above? What is it? Because he's been impressive, and the way he jumps into attack sometimes, I think, brings a beautiful element of surprise.
It does. He's so good on the ball and so smooth with his dribbling ability. But the question was always, where does he fit best? And I think he's really embraced the vision that Josh Wolf had for him. You know, last year, I think he was a little bit hesitant to take on that number 6 role, but he came in this season, actually put the number 6 on the back of his shirt and said, this is who I'm going to be, with Alex Ring moving further up the pitch to join up with Sebastian Driussi and the partnership that those two have. And also just the maturity of a guy in his second pro season. I think actually the moment that he had in Houston in, I think, September last year, where he let Darwin Quintero dribble through his legs and you know, finish. He said that kind of woke him up, that kind of was the moment that he realized, and he got called out in the press conference afterward by Josh Wolf because he didn't do the scouting report. That was something that was on the clips, and he missed it. And you know, he told me when I sat down with him in April, basically that he was having a tough time kind of adjusting to professional life. He was those little things like leaving a penny out on the training pitch, or, you know, leaving your boots out or something like that. Like, those things add up to little fines, and he was sort of getting those. And then he just kind of flipped a switch and, you know, started putting in that work to go along with his skill. And another thing that I think has helped him early this season, that we're going to find out how much his big brother was doing for him, because big brother Alexi was here in Austin for the opening stretch of this season. And, you know, he told me that he basically just kind of took on, you know, whether it was laundry, whether it was cooking, you know, kind of taking on all those little things and letting Danny just kind of concentrate on the soccer. And, you know, doing his homework, doing his, you know, going through the scouting reports and all those things, just kind of keeping an eye on his little brother. And now Alexi's going back to Spain, where he lives, spends the majority of his year. So we'll see if it continues, but I think that Danny Pereira has got the potential to be among the league's best and probably one day move over to Europe. I think they think that highly of him here in Austin. And I think he's been consistently one of the top performers this season for this club, which is amazing.
Fantastic jump for him. And we better bring Alexi back over from Spain. Incredible jump for him. And you know, I love the fact that you can hit his feet, and if he gets pressure from the right or left, can get out of that pressure, you know. And I think that's essential for a guy that's a 6 like that, that's doing that job. So where does that place in your mind everything going on with Johan Valencia, who, you know, I think everybody pretty much had penciled him in from Deportivo Cali to be the starter. Where's he, and what have you seen from him in training? We saw him get a start in one of the games, struggled a bit in that game, still trying to get used to the league. Kind of position it all for us.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a guy with some talent and a different toolbox than anybody that Austin FC has. He's more of a ball winner, kind of a bulldog in the midfield. And we've seen that. He helped close out that win against Minnesota. He's come in late in a few matches and looked pretty good. But as you mentioned at DC United, he struggled, you know, kind of backed off Ola Kamara. And, you know, if you give Ola Kamara any space at all, in the box, it's trouble. And, you know, he kind of raised his hand and apologized for that. I think he's still getting used to, the MLS game. And I think he'll get there. And the cool thing with him, and Danny Pereira is that, as much as there's competition between them, it sounds like those two have you know, kind of hit it off on a personal level. And there's a lot of respect that Johan Valencia has for the way that, you know, that was one of the first things, I guess, he said when he came in was, whoa, this Pereira kid's really good. And so I think that that's a good thing. It hasn't hurt the chemistry, but obviously Johan Valencia came here to play and he hasn't been able to play as much as he'd like. So we'll see how that develops, but they definitely still think highly of him and his ability to kind of win balls in the midfield. And I think we'll see more matches where he and Pereira are on the pitch at the same time to try and control some of the more physical and you know, imposing vertical attacks that Austin will face.
Chris Bills, the Striker Texas. You go to thestrikertexas.com. Okay, last year, you and I, we all witnessed, you know, how this team struggled in transition when the ball was lost. That 2-3 seconds of trying to be organized and get pressure on the ball, it just wasn't there. They got cut through like a hot knife to butter. I guess we could say that about Houston and Dallas also as well, right? They're three teams that have all improved a lot defensively and certainly in transition when they lose the ball. But let's talk about Austin, because it is really a remarkable jump. So one of the things we just mentioned was Danny Pereira and his upping of his game. But what else? I mean, you know, I'm looking here and last year, you know, I mean, one save is all that Brad Stuver had to come up with against Vancouver. They only had one shot on goal. You're protecting your goalkeeper better. It is a big, big visible difference in how this team plays without the ball. So along with Pereira, along with maybe a second year of a defined system, what do you think are some of the other key factors that have helped this become a much better defensive team?
Well, I think that, you know, the center back pairing of Julio Cascante and Ruben Gabrielsen is settling in. I thought Gabrielsen has had probably two of his better games in DC, even with the two goals. And then obviously this past week against Vancouver. But the other thing that I was actually talking to Nolan Sheldon, the assistant coach who came from DC United, about this, and one of the drills that they've been doing a lot in training, using a neutral player. So a midfielder like Alex Ring or Danny Pereira or even Felipe Martins, who's got a different color penny. And you know, when the ball turns over, he's playing offense. So you're attacking with numbers, but you're also, you know, it puts a lot of pressure to, you know, stay organized and be in the right positions when the ball does turn over in those transition moments. And they've put a big emphasis on that with just the way that they train and the way that they, you know, the emphasis they put on those moments and challenging teams in training to attack as soon as they win the ball or, you know, to, you know, stay organized when they are attacking, so that when the ball turns over, it's just been a big focus of what
so
they've done.
So they didn't really do enough of that in your mind last year.
That's what it sounds like. And I'm actually, teasing a bit of a story that I'll probably do in the next couple of weeks on, you know, to that effect of just how exactly they've gone about that. So you look for that on the Striker Texas, but yeah, I mean, that's something that I've noticed is how much, you know, pressure and how much, not pressure, but how much emphasis there is on those midfield players and their positioning. You know, especially a guy like Danny Pereira or Alex Ring, who's playing further up the pitch, but still has that responsibility to be the first line of defense when the ball does turn over. And I think he's been really good as a box to box midfielder, where I think that any MLS fan would have thought of him as more of a true number six in his early time in the league. But this is where he wants to play. And I think that it's working out pretty well for him.
Yeah, let's not forget Maxi Rudy is very good at leading the line and putting pressure on people as well. You know, it was interesting in Houston. He started off like a house on fire. He was incredibly efficient. Wasn't getting a lot of chances, but he was scoring a lot of goals. And he had a little bit of an injury, and then it all kind of went south. I don't think that's going to happen in Austin. I think in Austin, the support system and the definition of the squad and its purpose of play is probably more advanced than Houston's is right now with Paulo Nakamura in his first year. I don't know what you think about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it's just a second year for Josh Wolf and his coaching staff, and I think they learned a lot of lessons that you know, hopefully we may be having a similar discussion about Paulo Nakamura a year from now. But there's a lot of things that you just don't know until you're in it, and Josh Wolf got a lot of those lessons his first season, just as in terms of, you know, depth, injuries, you know, rotations, you know, game management, you know, those things are all, you know, when you improve in all of those areas, even if it's not a huge jump, I think it sort of translates in it, and it all adds up to being a huge jump. And that's what we've seen so far, but they've got to keep the momentum rolling. And, you know, in this league, you know, momentum can come to a halt pretty quickly. So every team goes through, it seems like every team, except for maybe, you know, whoever wins the Supporters Shield is going to have a stretch, and Austin FC hasn't hit that stretch yet, but I assure you, you know, if wisdom and history tells us anything, there's going to be a stretch where you're starting to question things, and it's how they can pull together in those moments that
Chris,
I think
you know as well as I do. You don't want to win the Supporters Shield because you'll be eliminated in the first round of the playoffs.
So, there's that too. Yeah,
don't hope for that. I don't think in Major League Soccer, because that doesn't generally turn into great success, even though you put the best body of work together. We're talking to Chris Bills, StrikerTexas.com. I also want to go back to, look, you know, even simply from the personnel standpoint last year, to go out and get a holding midfielder, six per se, and another center back, you know, it was a pretty clear statement. I don't know if it's anything earth shattering, but it was a clear statement from the organization that, hey, look, we got to become a better defending team.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing they did was, you know, they sent Tomas Pochettino back to Argentina. And so, you know, a designated player that they brought in to be a centerpiece of this club, they kind of, you know, were humble enough to say, hey, this isn't quite working out, and send him back. So, yeah. And then Ruben Gabrielsen, who maybe struggled to get his footing early, is sort of settling in. We're starting to see, you know, why they thought so highly of him to be a centerpiece of the defense. And I mean, yeah, Johan Valencia has almost been a luxury piece to this point in the season, but I'm sure they're going to need him at some point as this season moves along. And the depth's already being challenged a bit. We haven't even gotten into the suspension of Cecilio Dominguez, but, you know, that's brought Ethan Finley and you know, into the fold, and he's starting, a guy who's got a lot of MLS experience, and Diego Fagundes on the other side. So, yeah,
Chris. Take us in. What's happening with Cecilio Dominguez? Because that is a big thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, of course, on April 8th, the Friday before they headed to getting all my dates mixed up, but it was Friday before the Minnesota match, I believe, we found out that Cecilio Dominguez had been suspended pending an investigation into possible off-field misconduct. And last week here at the Striker Texas, we were able to get, you know, obtain a police report from that same day, April 8th, basically going into a complaint or a concern that was raised by Cecilio Dominguez's ex-partner, who those two are separated, but you know, claims of possible mental and emotional abuse, nothing physical, although there was an incident in 2016 involving the same woman and Dominguez, where there were claims of domestic abuse in Paraguay. Those charges were ultimately dropped. But there is a history here. And of course, with the Andy Polo case in Portland, I think Austin FC, you know, did the right thing, took the cautious approach and raised this pretty quickly to the authorities, being MLS, and then getting the Austin PD involved. Now, the important things that I think that your audience should know about this is,
regardless of what Portland did,
Yes.
This was the right thing to do.
Yes, absolutely. But I think it raised the stakes, or it raised the awareness around these things. So when there was a complaint that came to the club, it was raised very quickly. And, you know, they got him off the field and got his ex-partner, you know, some help as far as a safety plan. And they're working with the victim services unit is who actually made this call to or made this visit to the residents. There's not one particular incident that sparked this investigation, but rather like an ongoing feeling of concern around his, you know, his ex-partner and that relationship. And so, yeah, it's hard to say at this point what's going to happen with the MLS investigation, but it's not a criminal case. There's no, to this point, there's been no charges filed. And there's not an open police investigation. It's just the MLS investigation into possible mental and emotional abuse by Cecilio Dominguez against his ex-partner. So that's kind of where things stand with that. And you can go read a little bit more about that on thestrikertexas.com. Again, we were able to obtain the police report and you know, put some of the information in there, of course, some of the information redacted, and to the respect for the respect of his ex-partner, she's not named in any of these reports. We'll see where this all heads, but it's certainly something to take seriously and something that we'll have more coverage of on the Striker Texas, including a column from you know, great expert on these topics, Jessica Luther, who's written a lot about domestic violence and, you know, other gender violence issues for a number of outlets. So I'm excited to see what she writes and sort of providing a little bit of a guide for fans.
What more can she say other than the facts that you just stated? I mean,
well, I think it's just, how do we think about these issues as sports fans, right? You've got a star player on a team who's being investigated by the league for, what is it seems to be at least a complicated and volatile relationship. And, you know, how do we think of these things as sports fans, I think is sort of something that we should all sort of think about, because I think some of the conversations that happen around these topics become, you know, we
forget sometimes that athletes are no different than us. I mean, they have a lot of the same problems as everybody else, in all kinds of different areas. I mean, it's a microcosm of they're maybe under the microscope a little bit more. I think the big thing for me is that MLS and Austin FC stepped up to the plate here and are doing the right things.
You know? It appears that way. Yeah. And hopefully we'll have more information as this goes on about exactly who knew what and when and how it was all reported. But
hope it's all resolved. That's the way I'm looking for it. Chris,
exactly.
Listen, we got to go. Thank you so much, as always, for coming on. Great insight into Austin FC. We'll do it again real soon. Thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks so much, Glenn.